The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade, the former editor of Money and George magazines, and the senior advisor for healthcare.com. Did I get that right?
You did indeed.
Ha. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Jill. So this is a rough time, I mean, for everyone. And it's obviously COVID-19 all the time, 24/7. But look, COVID is here. It's here in our community. It's highly contagious. It does kill, especially older people. We need to be careful. Our goal here is not to alarm anybody at all. I mean, what we're trying to do is just give you the facts. We're urging all our listeners to be vigilant, take the steps to keep yourself safe, wear a mask and gloves when you're out and about, and don't go out and about too much. Stay 6 feet away from people. I mean, you know the drill. It's just stay with it. This stuff is COVID-19 is with us, and it's going to be with us for quite a while. Now, again, second week in a row, hats off to our Marshall Miles for some terrific reporting. This week, he nailed down what's going on at Sharon Hospital and what's happening across the street at the Sharon Health Center for the elderly. Now, they're both taking in COVID patients as we speak. And Sharon Hospital, I went past there yesterday. The National Guard has created this tent, which holds 25 extra overflow beds. It's right at, sort of at the front door. So there's plenty of capacity there. But Sharon Hospital is getting about one new patient a day, one new COVID patient a day on average. It's sending the more serious cases to the bigger hospitals at down at Vassar Brothers in Poughkeepsie or Danbury Hospital. But it is indeed getting people walking in with COVID, and it's a steady little parade. Now, at the same time, the health center has discharged recently 17 regular patients. So that gives them a lot of room for overflow COVID patients from around Connecticut. They're coming into the center. And that's causing a good deal of controversy. If you haven't heard about it already, there's a lot of concerns about the safety of the population, the people at the center now, as well as the staff. I mean, the plan there, apparently, is to put the COVID patients on one floor and the regular patients on another. But is that really enough separation? People have different opinions about it. It's been hotly debated. Then there's the question about whether the staff itself is properly trained to handle these COVID patients, whether they've got the right equipment. You've heard a lot about PPE, the masks and gowns that you need to wear. Do they have enough? There have been complaints by the staff members themselves. And these are people making, you know, $15, $17 an hour, and they're saying they need more help. Now, the center has given the staffers a $200 bonus and an extra $3 an hour to encourage them to work on the COVID floor with the COVID patients. And I have to tell you, it seems to me, I mean, the center can afford that and probably a good deal more. As Marshall has reported, the state is paying $600 a day for each COVID patient. That's three times as much as the state pays for a regular patient. So let's do the math. If the COVIDs fill half the 88 beds at the center, just half, then the center will be collecting on the COVIDs alone $26,400 a day. That's $185,000 a week, nearly $10 million for the year. And boy, that looks like a strong incentive to bring in as many COVID patients as the center can possibly treat. And that's the important thing, Jill. We know that the state now is going to be watching the center very carefully for the kind of spike in deaths that we're seeing in nursing facilities all across the country. You can't turn on your TV without seeing the problems we're having in nursing homes virtually from coast to coast. So the state's going to be keeping a careful eye on it. And we can say for you, our listeners, Marshall and I and the rest of the Robin Hood people here, we're going to be watching out for it, too. So, Jill, that's a little bit of a promise that I make to our listeners that I know you support.
The question is also, do they have the necessary equipment?
Do they?
I don't
know. That's the question. Do they have enough PPE? It's the gowns and the masks and so on. Do they have enough to handle this influx of COVID patients? Certainly, the staff members are demanding it, and the center seems to me has enough money to certainly pay for it if they can find it. So, I think we also owe our listeners an update on what's going on at the Walgreens up in North Canaan. That used to be the Rite Aid, now it's a Walgreens. Look, from my interviews again this week with employees and from the silence, unfortunately, I've gotten from Walgreens public relations people back near Chicago, despite our repeated attempts to get comment and clarification. So I would say, look, at this point, there is little doubt that the worker who was sent home on April 6th tested positive for COVID. If the worker had tested negative, Walgreens PR would be screaming that. So, okay, there was a problem there. So a worker got shipped home. Now, for anyone who uses that store, here are the dates to keep in mind. That worker went home about April 6th, okay? So if you were in that store between March 24th and later to April 6th when he was sent home quarantined, then you've got a bit of a concern, okay? The worker might have been contagious during that period. He was working without gloves and masks. That was the policy at the time at the store, unfortunately. On the other hand, do not overreact, okay? The odds that you bumped into this guy and he infected you in some way is very, 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 very small. Having said that, be vigilant, okay?
But also, just
be vigilant. If you've got any symptoms, call your doctor. Don't rush to the ER. Call your doctor. But, you know, a fever, dry cough, shortness of breath, anything really unusual, call your doctor.
All right. And
yes,
that,
Jill,
the only thing that I was going to say is you're recording this on the 17th of April. So for anyone who was there between those days, you're at this point, you want to take the last date.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, we're well.
You're
beyond,
well.
You've got to have shopped there between between March 24th and April 6th. Okay.
Right. So I'm just.
And if you don't have any symptoms by now, so your chances are you're fine. And we haven't heard of anybody who shopped there having any problems. But on the other hand, if you do, it could develop. You know, it can go up to the 14th day, even 15 days, if we're not keeping score correctly here. Just look, for any reason, if you're running a fever, man, that's your body's fighting something. Do not take that lightly, especially in these circumstances.
Right. And then
okay.
The other thing
yeah,
is just,
ahead, Jill,
just in terms of awareness, I know some, I know people who are, is it presumed that everything you can, everything's copacetic there now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Because
yes, it is. They fogged, the hazmat guys went in there, they fogged the store. There's no more bleed. They now are wearing gloves and masks. Everybody who works there.
Right.
The store is fine now. The
just because there
is
are
only
lots
back there and back in, there
in that period.
April.
And the only reason that, again, that I am focusing on those dates is because there are a lot of people that use it. So
yeah, sure, absolutely. And you're going into that store now, you're absolutely safe. And if you've been in that store since in that period, you're at the 11th or 12th day, if you're not feeling any symptoms, chances are you're fine.
Okay.
I've got something, another heavy on my heart report. A very close friend died in a freak bike accident on the Millerton Rail Trail on Easter.
Wow.
That was Dr. Richard Levine of Armenia. He was a former top OBGYN at Columbia Presbyterian in New York City. Fabulous doctor. He was riding his bike and not fast, but he swerved to avoid pedestrians. And he crashed, and his head hit the pavement. He was wearing a helmet. He was a very careful guy. but the helmet didn't save him just the way he fell. And he was one of those great doctors. I mean, he said, "How are you?" And he really cared. He was listening. He wanted to know how you were. So a great doctor, an even better friend of mine for over 60 years. We've been friends since homeroom in high school. Lally Levine, right? We sat next to each other for years. Yeah, two distinctive things about Dick back in those days. For one thing, he had kind of rusty hair, but his left eyebrow was bright red. So he had one red eyebrow. And the other thing was distinctive was he was absolutely brilliant. You knew he was destined to be a doctor. True story, okay? When his mother gave birth, she had only one question for her physician. She said, "Will he be a doctor?" So Dick had no choice. He was destined to be a doctor. And he turned out to be one of the great doctors at Columbia Presbyterian. Okay, so now here we are. We're in lockdown. It's wearing on me. It's depressing. We're in isolation. And on top of all of this, we've had these losses. And I know listeners have had worse problems than we've had. But Carol and I, you know, first of all, we lost Carol's brother only about a week and a half ago. And now we lose this lifelong friend. Dick Levine. Carol was close to him, too. To make it even more painful, we can't gather. COVID makes that impossible to gather. So we can't gather, we can't grieve. We can't comfort the widows. We can't go to their homes and give them a hug. So what did Carol and I do? Carol and I are just, we hug each other as best we can. We give as much comfort as we can to each other. So Jill, what are you doing? Are you feeling the depression and the isolation? Is it getting to you? And are you doing anything special to relieve it?
I am, the only thing that I'm doing special to relieve it is carrying on, keeping schedule and knowing that this will be over. I'm also, I am always interested in how people are doing, and I am interested in looking forward. It's very difficult. I don't know. Looking back, what will be, I think, quite right. Fascinating is the heavy on your heart losses. I don't know whether it's made worse by the fact that they're not COVID-19 losses.
They're losses. And what COVID-19 comes into it, because you cannot gather, cannot grieve. That's what makes it so much more painful, I think. It's bad enough.
Exactly. So I think that is.
But here's a strategy that I'm using, and it's helping me. So I'm making a list. I make a list of people that I want to be in touch with. Certainly my kids, good friends, my friends in L.A. and so on. I make that list. And then I try to block out about 30 minutes a day. Sometimes it's more, just to touch base. So I hope you've discovered Zoom. Zoom is great. There are people having, we have Zoom cocktails, okay, with another couple in California and our kids.
How early do you start?
Zoom each other. About 7 o'clock at night, we Zoom each other and have a little
cocktail. So they're starting at 4?
Yeah, they're
fine. I'm just trying to figure out what time. I thought I was wondering whether you guys were starting at 4.
People are hitting the bottle at 10. No, I mean, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, we're fine. So I think Zoom is better than FaceTime. FaceTime, I think, is better than a phone call. At least you can see somebody and get a reaction. A phone call is better than email. That's you're actually touching the person. You're talking to them. I think email is better than a note. I mean, it could be debate about that. You want to sit down and really write a letter. That's one thing. You write, just scratch out a note. I think email is better than a note. But a note is better than nothing. So that's something that's helped us. We're also, of course, being very careful shopping and being out and about. Carol went to Le Bon's. They're now taking temperature. We hear that Le Bon's is moving very quickly to a very strong online program where you send in your order and then you drive there and they're going to be all set to just slap it into your trunk. And maybe within, now you have to wait a couple of days. It'll be quicker. I just did it with the Sharon Market, the fish guy at the Sharon Market, who's very good, by the way. I just called him up and said, hey, you know, I could use some salmon. I could use some shrimp. Gave him my credit card. And you know what? I drove over to the market 15 minutes later, and he was waiting for me outside and just dropped it into my trunk. Couldn't be easier. Guido's is equally solid for shopping. So you can – look, I'm not saying go out every day at all, okay? I'm saying be very careful. But don't be complete isolation for 24 straight days. You can go out safely if you put your gloves and masks on and you take precautions. But then you hear stories. Our daughter Nina told a story about two very good friends of hers who went out once to the market, gloves and mask on, and they shopped for enough food for 14 days, and then they stayed in their apartment for 14 days, did not go out. And on the 14th day, they both lost their sense of smell. That's a sign of young people have that as one of the symptoms. They lost their sense of smell on the 14th day, and they both, of course, have COVID. So they did everything right. I think probably in the unpacking of the stuff from the market, that would be a place where something went wrong. So they did everything right, and they still got the COVID. Okay, so what's the lesson? The lesson is you can't be too careful. You don't have to be home 24/7. When you do go out, mask, gloves, 6 feet away. Be careful with anything you bring home. Okay, it's the packaging on the outside that you should handle carefully. Get your little Clorox water.
Got a minute.
Yeah, well, get your little, we've talked about this, okay? Right. Get a mixture, you can go online, you get the mixture, a little Clorox, a little water, and a little spray can, spray the counter where you put the bag, okay, in the box. Let it soak in for 10 minutes. Then wipe it away with a damp cloth, you'll be fine. Dispose of the packaging with a glove, a disposable glove, and then take that disposable glove and throw it away. If you don't have to touch your mail for a day or two, don't touch it. It's not, that catalog is not going away. All those offers are still going to be there.
All right.
Just be careful.
Okay.
Just folks, be careful. This is a rough time, but we're going to get through it. And we're here at Robinhood Radio helping you as much as we possibly can, looking forward to Jill's better days.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, on my desk. You can get curbside.